All right, that was good. I appreciate that. Before I start here, I got a couple things I want to say. If you have your song books, turn to page 291. Thou shalt bleed. Page 291, songbook. And the reason I'm asking you to turn to page 291 is because there's a lot of singing done today that doesn't mean a whole lot to you or to me. We just sing it because the song director asks us to sing it. But I want you to understand that every word that you say is going to be, you're going to be held accountable for. So I would not be a preacher of the Word of God if I didn't tell you what's going to happen tonight. If Jesus doesn't come, and I'm not presumptuous, if Jesus doesn't come, we're going to have a real service tonight. Look at verse 1 down there, about halfway through the song. It says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Now you sang it. I didn't. He wondered why I didn't sing. Because you see, when I know what the song says about bread, I know what bread is in the Bible. And some of you, all that you know that bread is in the Bible is something good. I want to tell you something. When you find out what bread is in the Bible, you won't sing that first verse unless you mean it. And I'm going to preach to you on what is bread in the Bible tonight. What is bread in the Bible tonight? It's not just the Word of God. See, that's where you've been. That's your problem. You know the bread from heaven, the Word of God. But you haven't experienced the bread that God's going to give you. Now, I know you look at me like a tree full of owls, but you come tonight, it'll stir your heart. It'll get you on the right thing. You see, it was so well put this morning. Friends, it isn't just the bread of heaven, it isn't the Word of God. It is the Word of God. But that's, as the preacher said, now you got to go one notch higher than that. And what does God call bread in the Bible? Thought I'd whet your appetite a little bit. Hope that you'll come back tonight. It'll be a blessing to you. And then you'll be able to sing this song like you really mean it. Okay? All right, I scratched a note down here. And I want to try to see if I can... It's obvious what I've got to preach on. I got up this morning and while I was in the shower, I was thinking about what the Lord would have me to speak on this morning. And it became very obvious what I was supposed to speak on. And then the preacher, Pastor Dan, verified it with his message. But I'd like to speak to you about what Pastor Dan's message was all about. Not that he didn't explain the message. I'm not talking about the content. You see, we hear so much today, and please don't misunderstand. Some folks misunderstood what I said yesterday when you're looking for a better show in town. Why don't you get your heart right? You wouldn't get the wrong impression of what I'm trying to say. And you're not going to intimidate me to change my message. You don't intimidate me. I don't get intimidated. The only one that intimidates me is God. Now, I forgot about being intimidated with him. I just love him and hug him and let him beat the snot out of me. That's good for me. So don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. And if you do misunderstand what I'm going to say, I want to say, help yourself and get miserable. Because as a preacher of the Word of God, I can't stand up here and qualify everything I'm going to say. You are going to qualify what I say by the attitude of your heart. Now remember that. Remember, when somebody goes through a difficulty, and I'll get to the message in a minute. When somebody goes through a difficulty, you know, you say, well, I wonder whether God's mad at him, or I wonder if he's sinned, or I wonder if he's done that. You know, many times when a person goes through a difficulty, it's for you. God wants to see if you've got a judging heart. Put the juice on. Comes around. It goes around, comes around. Now, you know, some of you folks say, you know, you look like you're mad all the time. I'm not mad. That's the face that God gave me. I can't help it. And then you take a look at that thing and you know doggone well it wasn't the face that God gave me. It's some of the things that I experienced. And I you know, I haven't got sense to keep my mouth shut. So you see, there's no bone in there, just all gristle. I didn't win every fight I got into. In fact, I can't remember if I did ever win a fight I got into. But I always enjoyed a fight. I thought there's nothing like it. Christian boxing is the greatest thing in the world. So I'm going to say, don't want it misunderstood. We hear today a lot about expository preaching. We hear a lot today about Bible studies. We hear today about a lot today about topical preaching. And man has got it down into a fine little niche. And he classifies everything into this, 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 and this. This morning, you heard a classic example of what expository preaching is, but it was preaching. Now, you know what preaching is? Expository preaching is, as they say it in the schools of learning and the intellect, is that when you can go down and nicely outline the whole verses, scripture verses. Well, he did. He took a scripture verse and he beautifully outlined it. But you know what preaching is? That's something this guy's lived. You can't tell me you sat there and your heart didn't go out to him and you didn't start to weep a little bit when you thought about the lonely hours in St. Louis. You know what happened to you? You were transported from here into that lonely, lonely room in St. Louis. You were transported with him by his preaching into the lonely hours that he spent where you forgot to pray for him. That's preaching with conviction. That's expository preaching that comes from the life of a man who's lived it. I'm blowing smoke, making him think he's like he's something. That's a lousy sermon. That's a terrible sermon. He said, glory to God, hallelujah. Every time God would come through. I remember one time we were in, just a short time ago, we were in Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas. And my wife and I were sitting on a swing in the back of in our patio, and I heard a sound like I have never heard before. I couldn't figure out what the thing was. I never did figure it out for a long time. But I remembered what time it was, and I remembered what day it was. And in my conversation with my dear pastor brother over here, I found out that the time that I heard that screeching sound, that I had put down the time, was the same time that he had proposed to his wife-to-be, and Susan said yes. And he put the phone aside and said, glory! And I heard that clear in Las Vegas. All right. So understand this. Real preaching comes from man or people who have experienced something, have gone through something. And I want you to know what he was saying was simply and clearly and plainly this. Don't feel sorry for me. At times I went through the deepest water with the greatest times now, maybe not then at that time, but they're the greatest times as I go back to them. I sat there in my chair and I wept my heart as I went back over 20 some years of experience in New York City. I've forgotten what I went through in Ohio for 20 some years. That's all gone and past. But there's nothing else left to preach. He's told you. The only message that I can preach to you this morning right now is Joshua chapter 24. Simple message. It's not going to be astounding. But it's going to be a message that I believe is the only thing left to preach. You bet you'll sing when you know him. You bet you'll shout when you know him. You bet you'll have no problems in making decisions when you know him. It all falls together. It all falls together. I won't have you stand because I'm just going to read Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And let's stand. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. This is a scripture verse that's probably everybody's got memorized. And I'm not going to give you anything new out of it. That's all there is to it. But I think it's apropos for the hour. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. What a verse. And if it seem evil, and if it seem evil, and if it seem evil, in other words, if it seems like the decision you're going to make is going to offend or hurt somebody or yourself or whatever the case, if it seem evil, unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You don't read the Bible like a book. You read the Bible with feeling. Choose you. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if what the preacher preached about this morning seems evil to you, and it seems evil to you, it will seem evil to you if you do not apply it to your life, then the writer says, choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm in the same boat you are, but I can say anything I want to. You don't know anything to study the Bible for about 20 years. He's talking to me about, he says, you folks are filled up with Bible study. Now, I commit prayed and prayed up. And if you didn't, I'm going to ask God that before the man, as an infidel, choose you, Joshua is dying. The old life, our lives, and so on and so forth, my dear friend. I wish I could thank the men that were, can't preach anymore, your heart's bad. And here's the way he used to study his Bible. He ran the Bible, was going to teach me. He had a very serious auditorium, and they'd fill up the auditorium, and he'd stand there with a black suit, and he had black hair, and a black, and then just before the invitation, when he said, all of your lights are snapped out and you're going to be, he sat there. These are the men that I sat at their feet and learned the word of God. Always had his big black marker. And all of a sudden, years ago when I was a young man, you had to call an ambulance, you had to call a hospital, you had to get all kinds. She goes to take the marker out and she saw a great big black circle around Finkham. But that's all past. I'd set myself up. Now that I'll be condemned by a lot of people, not here. You all are good people. He said so. And in truth, I'm afraid when some people read this verse, they read it so fast that they put two. Serve him in sincerity. And in number one in your life is an idol. Just patient, children, whatever it may be, that you put first before your life, before you put the Lord Jesus, they don't know it yet. They don't know it yet. Privileges and powers known to mankind. The power to choose. All you liberals are mad at me now. Okay, that's all right. I'm just having fun now, okay? Oh, just recently, on where he stood with Dole. This is not political. I just want to get except one issue. And that issue was morals. Sure, in a man's heart, he's never going to understand the reason of him, a reason that you fight abortion. Better than to hit me with a club. Look at him out there so that he doesn't deteriorate. So one of these days when they're able to get a brain and a heart and so on, they can implant power to choose. First thing I want you to notice about this, I hear an awful lot today about the confusion that there is about sound mind. Well, then how come you got confusion? You know what you got confusion? Confusion with God. There is no confusion with God. Do you know? Now you quit looking at Mel Savaka like he's something. I could tell you a couple. Now let's call a spade. Some of you are going to be embarrassed. You're sitting here. Your idols off and get you down. And so you see that you got a gutter rat speaking for you, to you. No problem. I didn't say I did it. I said I have the potential of doing it. Louder than anybody else. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of this thing. It's an individual choice. Amen. That is to be unswayed individually. You make this choice. Don't go come along a little later on. Each person must make, I'm having the best time of my life. Because a long time ago, this day, it's expository. Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Right now. Not tomorrow, not next week. Not when we, that I need more time. No, I got to have you. I got to have you. A service choice. Watch this thing. It's not a matter of joining this church or joining some other church or doing this or doing that. It's a matter today. I know I'm striking a bone here, and I know I'm hurting, and I know this, and I wish I was a little more compassionate. Choose you. You. Choose you this day. Whom spoke to you this morning? Service, excuse me, to someone. About anything else, my dear friend, that is always a part of some man's work. But you are Satan's worker, as I said it. Listen, that's an intent of service. It's a matter of this, my dear friend, you're not going to go out and do bad things. You know that? I am not holy. Preacher said it this morning. I didn't. Don't blame me for that message. That's him. Schmidt. Damn. That's what he says. This is intent of service. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You got the wrong attitude about everything. You're just sitting there, and you're just sitting there listening to the thing here and just want to see what's going on. I came to that church for about 7 years and never joined. And so just before she died, I told you, you're going to join the angel band up in heaven. But to make a choice. That's a power that God selects in matters that affect our immediate and eternal future is within the grasp. No animal can make a decision concerning his destiny. Yet God has given us abuse it. Well, I don't like so-and-so. He's not a very... The intent of your heart right now. And I'm not trying to persuade you to do... Very long, pardon the expression. Ain't. It's a bad word. That's a good word. Come on. The rest of you don't, and probably scare you to death. The Federal Reserve Board's got you by the throat and it's getting ready to see that coming. Federal Reserve Board is part of the international group. Responsibility! Boy, that's a nasty, terrible, horrible word in America. His dad loved him. Because he bears the scars of the things he had to go through. And I bear the scars of the things he had to go through. I didn't want him to do it, but I knew that it'd never make a man a card out of him unless I let him go through it. He gave us the responsibility to make the right choice. And if you're saved and you're born again, there is never any question about whether you're going to make a right choice as opposed to a wrong choice. You've been given a sound mind. Amen? Yeah. Renew your mind. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Norman Vincent Peale. Jesus Christ. Amen? The New Age philosophy that you have the ability within you to become better and better and become more like God. That's not true, and you know that. You have a sound mind. That's why you made the choice that you made. When you got saved, you had a sound, you didn't have a sound mind. And God put a sound mind to give you the ability to get that. Okay. Every privilege carries with it a responsibility. Want to go to heaven? And not go to hell? Then you have a responsibility to find out how to get to heaven. If you're here this morning and you do not know how to get to heaven, you don't know if you'd go to heaven if you died. You're not sure that you'd go to heaven. You're not real positive that you'd go to heaven. You'd hope that you'd go to heaven. And all this kind of business that the devil puts into your head. I'm going to tell you something that the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. Because God made it real simple. You know what God did? It didn't cost you a penny. God took his son, nailed him to a cross. He shed his blood. He died for you, went to hell for you, arose again for you, and lives at the right hand of the Father for you. Case dismissed. All you got to do is accept him as your personal Savior. Now, what's so hard about that? Say, why'd you say that, Sabak? It took you 25 and a half, almost 26 years before you got saved. I know. That's because I was stupid. I mean, if you got a choice of going to heaven and hell, and you want to go to hell... Then we need to get somebody here with a straitjacket. Because you belong in an insane asylum. Who'd ever want to go to hell? So I don't want to go to hell. Well, then where do you want to go? Well, I'd like to go to heaven. Well, why don't you do what God says? Oh, yeah, that's the problem. I got to do what God says. I want to do my own thing. Burn, baby, burn. See, if I get you mad enough, you'll do something about it. Either shoot me or accept the message. Right or wrong, life or death, these are responsibilities. And every one of those, my dear friend, has a privilege with it. You choose what you are going to do. I've given you ability, God says. I have made you responsible, God says. Now the choice is yours. There is no gray area with God. There is no, I've got to think about it for today or a couple of weeks. I've got to pray about this thing. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I put on that fake smile, see, to make it look like I'm not mad. You have the ability to make the right choice or wrong choices, but you are, listen to me, you are responsible for the outcome. Don't blame anybody. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that God sent anybody to hell. I don't either. I couldn't quite understand it all before I saved. But after I found out why God wouldn't send anybody to hell, because God made it possible for me to go to heaven with the death of His Son and the burial of His Son and the resurrection of His Son and sent His Son through all, I said to myself, wow, you need more light on the subject. Don't blame God if you die and go to hell. It's not God's fault. Don't say, I don't believe a living God. Don't say that. God would never send a man to hell. Never. What else can He do? Gave His Son to go to hell for you. All you need is a substitute. And all I needed was a substitute. Listen, Adam and Eve were in the garden. You ever think about that? Boy, I get some wild thoughts about Adam and Eve in the garden. This business, no clothes, chasing a naked woman around all over the garden, is just the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. I'm sorry, brother. I'm tearing up the church, I know, but I'll try to... There's some crazy, you know, all I'm trying to do is to show you that I'm just like you. You heard that story about the little guy that was in school? I just thought of this, and I shouldn't say this, maybe, but I will. The little guy's in school, and the teacher was giving him some, it's English, sentence structure and stuff like this, you know, and she made the statement, she says, I'll punctuate this sentence to the class. Mary ran into the woods naked. So Jeannie did it, and Willie did it, and so on and so forth. They came to little Johnny and said, Johnny, how would you, Jimmy, she said. Jimmy, how, he said, well, let's see. Mary, comma, ran into the woods, comma. There's a period there someplace. I don't know what he said, I'm not too sure. And she said, Johnny, of course, Johnny, he's one of those guys, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know he's in school. And he's one of these guys, he's getting ready to sing a song. He says, give me a napkin. Give me a Kleenex. That's a private joke. And so she said, well, Johnny, would you punctuate that sentence? And old Johnny gets up, he's scratching his head. He don't know what to say, because he don't think about punctuation. He doesn't know a comma from an exclamation point. So she said, well, Johnny, would you please punctuate that sentence? He said, Mary ran to the woods naked. I think I'd make a dash after Mary. Do you get that? Do you get that? My mind is always wandering in the peripheral. Adam and Eve in the garden. God put a tree up, said, don't eat. Why? Because if man doesn't have the opportunity to choose wrong, he couldn't choose right. That's that simple. If there is no option available, then I do right by force rather than by choice. God wants us to choose to love Him, serve Him, obey Him. God wants me to choose Him above everybody else and above anything else, when there are other choices available. And that's where you are right now. You have other choices available, but God wants you to love Him. And He shows all these options. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Which is more attractive, we'll say. And don't read into that sentence. Which is more attractive, we'll say. That's what Adam said. You know, I wouldn't want to be married to someone who had no choice in the matter. Well, I started killing them off one by one, you know, so because I wanted that redhead. Boy, I wanted her in the worst way. I wouldn't let her know that. If Jean had not had the opportunity to choose someone else, then I would always wonder whether or not she really loved me. You know, see, I'm down to earth. I'm basic. That's it. That's the beauty of our marriage. 48th year. Soon be going on our 49th. Year of marriage. Been married that long. I would not want to be in a situation where my wife had no other choice. Because I would never really know that she loved me. God chose me out of all the other options He had. He chose me. He chose me. He chose me. He chose me. He had all of the options. He could have said, go ahead, burn. Go ahead. He had all the other options because He is God. But He chose me. It's a bad leg, isn't it? Well, let me kick it again then. He chose me. Well, boy, come home from school. He's not in my notes, so I guess it'll be a longer message than I thought. Little boy come home from school. I just thought about that thing, and you probably heard the man. Little boy come home from school, and he'd been adopted. Come home from school, and he's crying. His mom says, what's the matter? She says, the kids are making fun of me at school. They say, you're adopted. We got a real mom and dad. And he said, they're making fun of me. She said, well, let's talk to Daddy about it. Sat down when Daddy come home from work, said, Daddy, got a problem here. Johnny's gone to school. Kids are picking on him, laughing at him, saying he's adopted. And they got real mommies and daddies. You know what old Daddy said? He said, son, next time they pick on you like that, you tell them that their mom and dad got what they had no choice in the matter. They got what came along. We went into the orphanage and we picked you out. And one day God went in the orphanage of this old world and he saw old Sabaka, dirty, lousy, no good. He says, come on, son. I want to save you and clean you up. God chose you. I'm trying to reach your heartstring. You are where you are today because God chose you, not because of anything else, but God chose you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Who are you going to serve this day? In the garden, there were only one wrong tree. Which tells me something. There were many right trees. Many opportunities to choose the right one over the wrong one. There were hundreds and maybe thousands. And I don't know. I wasn't there, Vashu, there, Charlie. I was not there. But I'm assuming. I realize what the word assuming is. More opportunities to serve, to choose the right than there was to wrong. To choose the wrong. God says, choose me. God says, choose me. The fall shows only one thing to me. It shows not the beauty of wrong, but the subtlety of Satan to make wrong look good. And I'm saying this again to you, my dear friend, you're not going to do anything bad. But not everything that you call good is good. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What saith the Scripture? Let me get down to the dirty nitty-gritty of this thing. Although you can make choices, you cannot determine the outcome. Think about that. You can make choices, but you cannot determine the outcome. You cannot choose what takes place as a result of your decision. That's fixed. The consequences are fixed. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now that's it. It's fixed. You can make the wrong choice, but you can't decide the outcome. The outcome is already fixed. I think we said something to the fact that before the foundation of this world, God had this church in mind. It's already fixed. You do what you want to, okay? I'm serious as I can be. I'm warning. I was a prisoner at that time. God says, I want you to preach. There's a church that wants you. And I said, I'm not. This corporate struggle. God says, I want you to preach. But. God says, son, I'm going to tell you one more time. And some of you may experience this thing. But when you kneel down at that cemetery lot with those little chubby little hands and she's laying in that casket, and I said, I'll take that casket. He says, against the law for you to touch that casket. I said, if I can't have... Said, I'll see you, honey. You can tell them up in heaven. Probably had some more grandkids from her. Well, forget it. Go see my daughter down in Tennessee with her husband. My son's preaching, and she was never lied to. She never saw sin. Outcome. The outcome is already fixed. That this morning, do you really believe, my dear friend, that the decision you make this morning, Christ from here, but I don't have time for all of that. You try to put it together yourself. You made the decision. It's too late. The result is fixed. They went in there and it cost them their lives. Because I can never quit preaching. The right choice for you, I cannot tell you that. I can tell you the truth and warn you, but you decide when you choose. I was fantastic. God or someone else, it was the result of your choice, and it may be the result of that choice advance before Daniel ever went over and was captive. In daytime, so you blah, 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 and so on and so forth. You know what? It wasn't the choice then. It wasn't the choice. Listen to me, please. Listen carefully, very, very carefully as we look at this. A good choice. Oh, no. God was in choice. Why? Because he had made a right choice ahead of time. And when he got over that land there, nobody else. He made the decision when he was not under pressure. I have nothing. I don't have anything left. If a trouble would come. No reserve grace. No reserve. What you need? Reserve grace. So the daddy's going to preach from here on in. I am going to clue you in on something. Some of you are in college. Don't study after the test. They're going to help you. Good things are paid for in advance. What do? I study. I'm trying to get practical with you. Start to train. Start looking like Mike. You want heaven today? You want heaven tomorrow? So let me tell you something right here now. I tell that Catholic priest when he tells me that. I say, hey man, I've been to purgatory. He says, yeah, it's a place to get your sins purged. Oh. I've been ovary. Okay, you're getting tired. Regardless of anybody else or anything else. Today, enjoyable. Before you enjoy the results. Choice will seem more convenient and more attractive and more popular. Let's all stand. I don't go to the place, but never like some of the ones I see in here. Pat yourself. Come on, get the circulation. Hey, fella, I said pat yourself. I mean, I was mean. That's bad news for me. Are paid for after the experience. I want it. Bad decisions are paid for after. Or else, bad experiences are paid for afterwards. You see something else. Oh, that big, big, fat. That's a bad dude. Big, fat envelope. They do the blessed thing for you. For bad experiences are paid for afterwards. They add 20. And that interest. No money, just sign. Experience. I hope so. Interest. Some may be living with wrong choices right now. Stands about 5'8", weighs 235 pounds. There's no neck, just gristle. You like Father Sabaka? He called me Father. Well, I don't care what you call me. We don't do things like that. He said, well, they can't do things like that, too. He said, just give me the name and just give me. Quit coming to church. I went to his house, talked to his wife. She wouldn't give me an answer. Couldn't find him. He quit a butcher job. She started to cry. And she said, I don't know what happened. She said, some fellas came over to visit him. We backed off, went another way, and come to another underpass. And he stopped. Rocky told Rocco, don't cry. Rocco breaks. Worries about getting into the mafia or the mob and then getting saved and getting out. It make a difference what I wanted done. If I went to T&J Hardware over there, one of the three families that did, but he was going to serve that bunch. And he never did get out through the places, in and out with Eddie LaCaro. I saw what was going on in the back rooms. It's the God of gold was so present and so prevalent. I've seen the old boy on the side over here and reach down in his side of his, and it was a great big pocket going down those overalls, just pulling out gold and stuff. Before the experience. Now they're going to pay the consequence. What in the world do you do? You left the church. You don't know what you're going to do. You can't make up your mind. Anything. And they're looking at mom and dad and say, Mom, our choice in your hands this morning. Wrong choices are paid for after they are experienced. They'll give you one. Ow! Bang, 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 bang. He's living with me. He's 100 years old right now. He says, I'm not going to the hospital. I got the frying pan. I said, Pop, you're going to go consciously or on compression. You didn't get much work then, but when you got work, boy, you went. And you didn't work. I mean, I know God gave the order in Genesis chapter 1:1, but and indelibly impressed upon you. So, you know. And afternoon come along, a bunch of guys. All of a sudden, I saw Dad walking. He didn't drive to work. He walked to work. About 6 months. Dum-dum-dum. I used to say to him, he'd say something, do something. I said, Dad, I think. He said, hey, you ain't supposed to think. Yeah, I'll tell you something, boy. Why didn't you cut the grass? I said, I'm just heading that way. He said, when are you heading that way? Put the bat away. Don't touch it. Well, that was pretty rough. I mean, when he got there, it just wouldn't quit. It just wouldn't quit. They just wouldn't quit. Every one of them in combat. They could sit at home and cry. I'll be okay. And I thought, when I thought the punishment was just enough, then he said something, illustration. Didn't take me long to figure out that my choice was too expensive. Preach you in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But preached. Think about it. Who do you love? Now let me talk to you, friend, old buddy. You're not talking to, I'm going to talk to you as one lug to another lug. Story column. You know what I said? How come your name's not in it, Sabaka? Only because of the grace of God. Your life is a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Now look, guy. I don't know why God didn't kill me. Well, listen, guy. Listen. Receiving God's gift of eternal life. You need. If you're here tonight, if you're here this morning, and you do not know for sure whether heaven is. They plucked the beard out of his face. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And he suffered. He did. And I took him. Now, there's nothing like him. There's nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, you can know. Why would you turn it down?